podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
Jonah chapter number 4, where we're going to be here this morning. And we're going to be looking at this school of grace, okay? And if you can remember, you know, here's Jonah, right? And if we just recap here just briefly kind of what we looked at last week, remember, here's this entire nation that has repented at the preaching of Jonah. I mean, an entire city. The Bible says it was a great city, right? He goes there, his message was very, very simple, right? Yet 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. And the people believed God, they repented, and God actually repented of the evil, the disaster that he was going to bring upon the city. Now, you would think that Jonah would be happy at this point, right? I mean, he's a prophet. I mean, this is what he's supposed to be doing. He's supposed to be taking God's message, and hopefully these people would listen, right? And he sees what happens, but it's what we're going to read here in our text here this morning, Jonah chapter 4, that's not the case. You would think that he was like, hey, all right, message is over, time is done, it's time to go home. Assignment's been completed. But that's not the case at all. Chapter 4 actually tells us otherwise. It tells us that Jonah was angry. And the Hebrew is very clear here. Not just angry, he was exceedingly angry. I mean, very, very upset at what took place. And so there's a huge problem in Jonah's heart. And God is going to instruct Jonah, even through all this process, God is trying to deal with Jonah and trying to teach him some things about who he is. Now, if you can remember, this book is not about Jonah. This book is not about the fish. It's not about the Ninevites. Who is this book about? It's about God. And God is trying to get it through to Jonah of what a gracious and merciful God that he truly is. Now, if you don't get this through that book of Jonah, you've missed the entire point. Because God is really dealing with Jonah's heart. And as you can really see, hopefully, that he deals with our hearts as well to try to teach us about how gracious and merciful he really is. And so this is what I would like for you to take away with you this morning. God instructs us with his grace to help us grow in our understanding of who he is. God instructs us with his grace to help us grow in our understanding of who he is. So I only got 2 points here this morning. And let's take a look here at this first thing here about Jonah's anger. When it comes to growing in God's grace, I believe that none of us are set up in that, okay? Like when we become followers of Jesus, okay, our payment for our sin is paid for, but God now expects us to grow, right? He expects us to put in the effort. He expects us to work out our salvation, as what we're told in Scripture. And so here, Jonah, he's got this anger problem. He's got anger in his heart. In fact, I mean, that's exactly what Jesus tells us, right? Out of the heart proceeds all these things, right? And so the anger is there. And he's very angry at some things. And so when we talk about growing in God's grace, we're not set up for life. It's something that we have to work through. There's a word that is used in Scripture. It's called sanctification. Okay? God is working in our lives, and God is working things in our lives so that we can work those things out. Okay? And that is our growth in Christ. Once we become a follower of Jesus, it's not like we're automatically perfect. Right? We still have sin in our lives that need to be dealt with. We have things that we need to be putting off and putting on, right? Putting the old man to death is what Scripture tells us over and over. And so Jonah's having to learn this because he's got an anger issue. And chapter 4 kind of starts off with this abrupt statement. It's kind of a weird way to end this story because look at verse 1. It says, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And so obviously Jonah still has some issues that he needs to be working out in his life. And if we think about it, Jonah has had quite the spiritual journey so far. I mean, think about this, right? I mean, here's Jonah. I mean, he's ran away from the presence of God. God mercifully, graciously has saved him over and over and over, right? He's cast into the sea. God sends a fish. He's in the fish's belly for 3 days, 3 nights. God graciously delivers him out of that as well. And so Jonah has experienced a lot of interesting things on this spiritual journey, but evidently Jonah, however, is still burning with great anger. What is going on here? Well, evidently the basis for Jonah's new complaint is provided for us here in the second verse, because take note what it says here. It says, and he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Wow. Kind of makes you think, doesn't it? I mean, Jonah, in a sense, is telling God, look, I was right in not ever going to Nineveh, because I knew that if I would go to Nineveh, you were going to be gracious to these people. You were going to be merciful to these people. You were going to allow them to live and not destroy them. I knew it all along. And so I was right in fleeing from your presence and wanting to go to Tarshish instead. Kind of really shows us his motives. Now notice what he says here. Verse 2 here, he says, I knew you were going to forgive these wicked Ninevites. I knew it. I knew it all along. And notice what Jonah says to bring about this understanding of this, because he knows God. In fact, he knows God, but not only that, he knows his word, because he's actually quoting here a passage from the Old Testament in Exodus 34, 6 and 7, where we find God showing his glory to Moses. Let me read it to you here, the verses that Jonah is pulling from. It says here in Exodus 34, 6 through 7, then the Lord passed by in front of Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. Now, this is a very important part of Scripture here in the Old Testament, because this is a passage where God tells us who he is. This is why I always say that your theology will always affect your philosophy. What you believe about God will affect in how you live your life. And so Jonah knows this. He knows this about God, that he's gracious, that he's merciful, that he's abounding in loving kindness, and he knows this, and yet he is what? Angry. You making the connection here? He knows that God is merciful. He knows that he's gracious. He knows that he has loving kindness, that he's willing to forgive. And yet Jonah is angry about that. Why? You see, what's interesting, Jonah is angry because of who God is and what God has done. Jonah knows the Scripture, but yet Jonah is not willing to submit to the Scripture. That's very important. You know, we can quote Bible verses all we want, but until we are willing to submit to the authority of Scripture, it does us no good. And see, God is trying to, in a way, provoke Jonah to teach him about his grace, to teach him how important it is to actually see who God is, to submit to what his word says. And so Jonah is angry here, and he's angry at what God has done. And so the character of God actually provokes Jonah here to anger. You see, Jonah didn't want the people of Nineveh to receive the grace that they had obviously received. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, these people were wicked, wicked people. In fact, remember back in 2 Kings, we saw that very first thing about Jonah and the whole prophecy that he gave about the Assyrians giving back the borders, the land, right? Everybody was like, oh, yeah, this is a great message. Well, who was Jonah delivering that message to? To his own country, to his own people, right? He didn't want to go to Nineveh and tell these people that, hey, guess what? God is willing to relent disaster upon you if you simply repent, right? He didn't like that. And so here, Jonah here, he didn't want the Ninevites to be on the receiving end of the goodness of God. And I think he probably wanted the Ninevites to suffer. I think he really wanted to see God rain down fire and brimstone and just destroy that city. Just wipe it off the face of the map there, God. That's exactly what we need. That'll take care of the problem. I don't want these people to repent. I don't want to see your mercy extended to them. By no means. But mark this, what Jonah did not like was that God was sovereign in who would receive his sovereign compassion. You see, Jonah didn't have a choice. And God here, he shows mercy, he shows compassion to these people. You see, Jonah wanted to be the one who decided who received grace and mercy and who didn't. Now, if we're actually tracking with this and we're understanding in our own hearts and lives, guess what? There are individuals in my life and individuals in your life that we believe that think they don't deserve the mercy of God. They don't deserve God's forgiveness. They don't deserve God's compassion. You know, we got some things coming up here in November. And there's a lot of animosity, right, that's already building, tension that's building, right? And we need to be careful and not put people into camps of these people are evil and they deserve this and these people are this and they deserve this. No, guess what? We all deserve God's righteous judgment upon us. We all deserve that. And so we need to remember that God doesn't play favorites, right? God is not a respecter of persons, and neither should we be as well. And so here is Jonah. He's an Israelite, and frankly, he didn't like these people because they had been bad to the Israelites, and he's trying to control the sovereign compassion of God. None of us have a right to do that. Jonah's not thinking spiritually about the kingdom of God and what God is doing, and this is an important reminder to us because I think Jonah's very much an Israelite here, more than a prophet. He's not fulfilling his ministry, and I think it's very evident here, because notice what Jonah places an emphasis on here in verse number 2. He says, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? He's only thinking about himself. He's only thinking about the people that he's a part of, and it's only just about him and about his country. And he's not really looking out and saying, no, God's vision about this is much bigger than just my people, my country, right? And he's not seeing his calling to take the gospel to the Ninevites. Verse 2 here, look, he says this, my own country. But I think it's really interesting about this because notice the emphasis just about himself, right? Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was in my country, for I knew my life, me, right, me, I. It's all about himself. It's not about God and what God desires to do. And so God is trying to instruct Jonah in the school of grace, right? And he's using his character that God is compassionate, merciful, gracious, he's full of loving kindness, ready to forgive, willing to forgive to those who repent and believe. And yet Jonah is not getting that. He's not following what God is saying. And so he believes in a way that, yeah, God's grace is good enough for my country, my people. It's good enough for me. But those wicked Gentile Ninevites, Nope, they don't get it. I don't want them to have it. And he's exceedingly angry. And so what we find here is God displaying his grace and forgiveness to a nation that didn't deserve it. And Jonah is angry at this. And I think this is a good question for us to ask is, why would God show grace to the Ninevites? Why would God choose to show grace to the Ninevites? Why would he do that? There's nothing about them that earned it. Boy, this sounds very, very familiar here. Is this not the gospel? God chooses to show us grace, to show us mercy, to show us forgiveness. And guess what? There is nothing, nothing that we have done to merit salvation. In fact, I kind of think that I'm just nothing but a big bucket of demerits, right? Throw it out. And yet, here, God shows grace, God shows mercy, God shows forgiveness towards us. And that's exactly the point. There's nothing that we can offer to God. We don't merit God's grace. This is God doing what God does. Grace is undeserved favor from God. And so by definition, we are nothing. We offer to God nothing. Nothing. There is nothing in us at all that God would say, wow, I just want to show grace and mercy to that person because, wow, look how wonderful they are. Because we're not wonderful, are we? In fact, if you've been following along in Romans, right? Following along in Romans, what Paul's talking about, Bible reading, you'll see a lot of that, what he says about God's commentary on mankind, right? We offer nothing to God. And so by definition, we are nothing. And we're only fit to be tossed out and to have the judgment of God fall upon us. But God doesn't do that, right? God sovereignly and he powerfully, he extends compassion to those who don't deserve it, even like these wicked Ninevites. And it pleased God, evidently at this time, to send this sweeping revival throughout this whole nation. I mean, the whole city repented, and God extended mercy and grace to the entire city. And you know, I think it's really interesting that Jonah's watching this, and he's seeing God's grace unfold. I mean, there was never a time before this that God's mercy or grace was seen on such a large level like that. Never. And 750 years later, Jonah, not even knowing this, that Christ would come and be able to extend grace and mercy and forgiveness to thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands, to those who repent and believe the gospel. And so this is God being compassionate, and it pleases God for all of that. And so from Jonah, we learn that when that kind of glory is displayed by God, when the glory of God is displayed in his compassion, Jonah doesn't respond in worship. How does he respond? In anger. I mean, you would think, there is nothing greater to see when a person turns from their sin, right? To turn from idols, to serve the living God, to be brought from death to life, to be delivered from the power of Satan, to be delivered into the kingdom of his son, Jesus, right? There's nothing greater than that. In fact, the Bible says that all of heaven rejoices over one sinner who comes to repentance, right? And Jonah's not worshiping. He's not praising God. He's going, oh, he's not saying, oh, God, this is so wonderful. This is marvelous of what you have done. No, he's angry. He's exceedingly angry. He's displeased at what has taken place. And so he's not worshiping God here. Jonah is not getting what God has done. And sometimes we don't either. Sometimes we miss what God is doing. And I want you to notice Jonah's perspective on this. Instead of worshiping and praising God, he's angry, and he actually throws a tantrum. An adult temper tantrum. By the way, you do those too. When we don't get what we want, we may not fall on the floor, kick and scream, But we huff and we puff, right? We storm out of the room. We slam the door. Here's Jonah's temper tantrum. Look at this, verse 3. He says, "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me. I'm not getting what I want. It'd just be better for me to die." That's how angry he is. It's all about him, right? And Jonah ultimately is kind of disgusted here over God's sovereign will in this situation. And notice how the Lord challenges Jonah with this type of thinking. Look at verse 4. "And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry?" And notice, there's no response from Jonah. The silent treatment. In fact, you read he just goes out of the city and builds a booth and just sits by himself. Right? You see, Jonah saw God's savings purpose as lacking in justice. They'd been horrible to the Israelites, these Assyrians, and evidently so offensive is God's plan of grace that Jonah no longer wants to live. Just take my life from me. Just kill me. And it's like he's saying, over my dead body, are you going to extend grace and mercy to these people? They don't deserve it at all. And he's only thinking of himself. He's kind of being like a big baby, you know? And that's Jonah's reaction to God's grace. And his reaction is just so full of pride. And Jonah evidently knows better than God and knows what God should be doing instead of what he thinks that, he is doing. I know better than God. God, you should have just killed these people, just destroyed them all. And because you didn't do that, I'm very unhappy. And so that's what Jonah is struggling with. He's struggling with the fact of who God has chosen to show mercy to and forgiveness to. And we struggle with that too. And so God uses these powerful moments of grace to teach us about his character. I mean, when we see how God acts in the world or what God uses in this world and it displeases us, we're not following what God is doing. We're not learning, right? And we always have to remember God is always doing things for his own purpose, for his own glory, for his own will. He does it all. And so we always have to keep our eyes on that. So let's look here at the second thing, last thing here. God instructs us to grow through his grace. Now this verse here, verse number 5, take it with me in verse 5. We see that God is at work in all of this, right? So Jonah's angry. God has provoked him with what he has done. He's angry. God says, hey, do you do well to be angry? There's no response here. There's no response from Jonah, okay? And God is actually at work in Jonah's heart and his life here, okay? He's actually doing a sanctifying work upon the prophet. He's addressing what Jonah is thinking, what he's struggling with about why and how God has chosen to show grace to the Ninevites. He says to Jonah, Jonah, do you have a legitimate reason? Do you have a reason, Jonah? Do you do well to be angry? Do you have a legitimate reason, Jonah, why I shouldn't show mercy and grace to these people? Do you have a legitimate reason why that you're angry? Why are you so angry, Jonah? Do you have a reason to be angry over me? Talk to me, Jonah. I think God is working with Jonah here. But notice Jonah at this point, he's having none of it. Jonah doesn't even answer the question, and it's almost in a sense like he just kind of stomps off, right? And he goes out of the city, and look what he does here, verse 5. Jonah went out of the city, he set to the east of the city, and made a booth for himself there. He set under it in the shade, till he should see what would become of the city. And so Jonah goes out there, he sits down, he makes kind of like a temporary shelter, probably looked around for some sticks and some palm tree branches, I don't know, but he makes kind of this little shelter for himself, and he sits down and he just watches. What's going to happen to the city? Now, there's a lot of awesome parts here in the book of Jonah, but I find this one very intriguing and very interesting. Because here's the question. Why did Jonah, okay, now think, follow this thought here, okay? God has just shown grace and mercy to this city. The whole city's repented. God relented of the disaster he was going to bring upon it. Jonah knows this. He knows that God is full of compassion, grace, and mercy, all of those things. He's angry about God's decision here, and he goes out of the city, sits down, and watches what's going to happen to the city. So why did Jonah go out to sit and to watch what would happen to the city at this point in this story? Now, there's a lot of Bible commentators that comment on this, and they say things such as, well, possibly Jonah was going out of the city to watch and see that maybe if God really was going to show grace and mercy to them and not rain down fire and brimstone upon them, possibly Jonah was just sitting there hoping that God really wasn't going to show grace and mercy to them, and chances are he's got like a ringside event, you know, going to watch fire and brimstone hail down on that city there. Now, let me ask you a question. Does that sound like what we've been seeing through the book of Jonah so far? No. What have we seen? I mean, all from chapter 1, we've been seeing God showing grace and mercy, interwoven, complete throughout the whole book. And yet Jonah knows that God actually relented from this disaster that he was going to bring upon the city, and he was going to show grace and mercy to them. And so why is Jonah sitting and watching to see what's going to happen to the city? Now, here's my take on this. If you wanted to experience God's grace, his mercy, if you wanted to, in a sense, become a Jew, become part of that Judaism, you had to go through the front door. This meant that you had to go through certain things, right? There was this whole thing of like the ritual sacrifices. There's the whole thing of the temple. There's all of this stuff. Now, God has just shown grace and mercy to this entire nation. And I believe Jonah's sitting there and wondering, how is this actually going to play out now that they've experienced grace and mercy? How are they actually going to experience this and live this out in their life? And so I think he's watching this and he's wondering what is going to happen to the city. Now follow the thought here, right? Nothing like this has ever happened before in the entire world, ever. God has shown mercy to a very wicked people like the Ninevites. And this is a pagan city, and they've just repented of all of their sin. And God has shown forgiveness to them. Now, in the Old Testament, Old Covenant, how are they supposed to experience that forgiveness? There had to be the temple. There had to be the sacrifices. There had to be all of these things taking place. But guess what? God just bypasses all of that. And he shows them forgiveness and he shows them grace. Again, is this not a picture of the gospel, right? Because Jesus Christ later would what? He would die on the cross for our sins. He would be judged for our sins so that way we could experience his grace and his mercy. And Jonah is perplexed by this. What in the world is going on here? How are these people actually going to live this out? And so Jonah here is perplexed how all this is going to go down. How can these people find forgiveness for their wickedness? How in the world is God going to do this and still be just? That's the question. And little did Jonah know that 750 years later, right? Jesus Christ, who has been slain before the foundation of the world, right, would be the answer to that very question, that Jonah would be able to see all of that. And so this is totally new to Jonah. And so is there evidence that Jonah is growing? I think the answer is yes in all of this. Because if you notice, it's very small, but take a note here. Look at verse number 2. And you can almost miss it if you're not following closely. It says, and he prayed to the Lord. Jonah's angry, and he prays to the Lord. If you contrast this, compare this with chapter 1, we see that God speaks to Jonah, Jonah, go to Nineveh. And what does Jonah do? He doesn't pray. In fact, he's trying to flee from the presence of the Lord. But here we see Jonah turning to God in prayer. God, I know that you were like this. I knew that you were going to do this. He's still angry, but there's this little spark of growth in his life that's happening, that's taking place. And I believe Jonah is showing some signs, some evidence of some spiritual growth in his life by him turning to God in prayer and seeking God in all of that. And so here he is. He's speaking to the Lord. He's seeking out the Lord. And instead of fleeing from his presence, he's actually going into the presence of God and saying, Lord, I knew you were going to do this. And Jonah still needs work, no doubt about it. But you know, I think this is a good thing to help us, even in our own lives as believers, that God uses his grace, God uses his mercy to teach us these little things about himself to help us to grow, right? And even the smallest growth, even if it's so small as just prayer, it's still spiritual growth, right? It's these little steps that help us more and more and more. And you know what's interesting is we never hear much about Jonah after all of this, only the fact that Jesus uses him as an example, right? 3 days, 3 nights, you know, talking about his own thing there. But I think this is a great reminder that God's grace is not only for us, but it's for others as well. And we are in no way better than anyone else. God uses his grace to instruct us in our own growth and in our own understanding, right? I mean, think about how many times God has shown you grace, shown you mercy, shown you forgiveness when you didn't deserve it. You know, one of the things I believe as people, we have this idea of fairness in our world, right? You treat me good, I'll treat you good. You say kind things to me, I'll say kind things about you. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back, right? It's this whole idea of fairness. But when it comes to the gospel, guess what? There's none of that, right? God shows us grace and mercy and forgiveness even though we don't deserve it. And that's how we are supposed to be living our lives as well. We are supposed to be showing people grace and mercy and forgiveness even though when we think that they don't deserve it. And so Jonah's having to learn all of this. So how are you growing in grace? Are you growing? How will you know if you are growing? Let me give you a couple questions to ponder on where you are in your growth, okay? Question 1, how do you feel about God's mercy for other people who have wronged you? How do you feel about God's mercy for other people, for people who have wronged you? I mean, all of us have experienced this, right? People that have said things, done things, whether it be physical abuse, verbal abuse, right? Treated us horribly. How do we feel about God's mercy to those people, for people that have wronged us? Would you be willing to display and rejoice at God's mercy for them or forgiveness if they repented and believed, right? Would you rejoice at that? Or are you just kind of sitting by hoping, maybe, yeah, you know what, they really don't deserve God's grace. I just really hope that those people would just perish. Remember the disciples when Jesus was talking to them and Jesus goes into town there, performs many miracles, all those things, comes out and they didn't believe. They're saying some things and Jesus says, Lord, you want us to call down fire from heaven, destroy these people, right? Jesus says, you don't know what you're asking for, right? So how do we feel? This is a good barometer for us to help us learn about where we are in our growth and our grace. Secondly, how do you respond when you don't understand what God is doing? When there are things going on in your life, in the world, how do you respond when you don't understand what God is doing? Are you angry? Are you upset? Do you feel justice is not being served? Are we trusting God through the whole process? Again, you know, we're coming up here in November. There's a lot of crazy things going on in our country. No doubt about it. But guess what? God's in control of it all. Okay? God knows what he's doing. God sets up kings and he takes down kings. He knows exactly what he is doing. Right? And so how do we respond? Right? Are we getting all worked up about things? Are we trusting God through the whole process, knowing that, hey, God is doing something, right? So these are some good questions. And so God will use anything and everything to teach us about his grace. Where are you growing in grace? Jonah had to learn some things, and Jonah had to grow through a lot of these things. But I believe God is using it all. Well, we got one more lesson here out of the book of Jonah next week. Okay, we'll be finishing this up. And I hope it's been a help to you and encouragement to you. But let's pray.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.